sing nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because yes, he did die, but he conquered death. We don't have a dead Savior. We have a living Savior. And his blood washes whiter than snow. The blood that washes... Don't we have something like that in our hymn book? The blood that... another one. The blood washes whiter than... let's sing it. 171, I think it is, Jason. 171. That's one of my wife's favorite songs. Blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. Well, what do you mean a fountain of blood? It's got to be all right up in it. No. Blessed be the fountain of blood. 171, my sinners. Back, I told you we'd be getting to this and we'd be talking about demon possession, things like that. That's what we are going to do with today. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, the Lord has just stilled the tempest. The disciples marvel, say, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Verse 28, now we're going to see something else that obeys him too. "And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils." Now, Luke and Mark give this same account and indicate that only one man is there. Here in Matthew's, two. I really have not been able to find any spiritual explanation for it or anything special to give to you, except that we have three accounts, okay? Two accounts, the writers only refer to the one person. Matthew refers to two men here coming to the Lord Jesus Christ this day. "There met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Let me stop and just add another thought. I remember one of the professors in school had this to say. You know, some try to get a spiritual message out of every little thing in the Bible and try to maybe awe the audience with their ability to be able to find a symbolic meaning in everything that there is. And he said this a little facetiously. He says, you know, some of the nails and the pegs in Noah's Ark were there just to hold the Ark together. All right? You try to find a spiritual significance for everything. Well, sometimes you just can't. And I just can't see anything. If any of you come up with some very spiritual explanation for that, please let me in on it, okay? And I might even give you credit for you for it when I preach on it, but I don't know the reason why. There's two mentioned here, but only one in Luke and Mark's account. All right, verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee? And this is the same in the other accounts as well. So it's not necessarily the man talking here so much as the demons within him talking. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? By the way, New Modern Versions of the Bible leave the name Jesus out of that verse. What have we to do with thee, thou Son of God? No, they said Jesus, acknowledging the man standing in front of them, thou Son of God. By the way, that's the testimony of devils. Even they know better. Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him. There you can see, it's the devils talking, okay? Saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. You know, just like he said up there, to the winds and the waves, peace be still. Now I know it doesn't say that in this account, but in the other accounts. Some have said that the Greek could actually be translated in a more crude or crass way, where the Lord stood and he said to the wind and the waves, shut up. Shut up. Peace be still. Wow. And like I said last time, I don't think that lake was ever as still as it was that day. The molecules in the H2O. And I can just imagine the surface of that water was like a mirror to look into. Never as calm as it was the day the Master said, peace be still. And you'll find that to be true in your own life as well. But notice all the Lord had to say to these devils was, go. Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Wow, that's what happens when you got demon possession going on and the work of demons going on. They really don't care about animals either, by the way. They're not like the green people of our day, you know. They didn't really care. Verse 33, and they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Jesus cast out the devils. This whole account shows his power over evil spirits. Now, it's in the book of Matthew, which presents Jesus as the king. and also presents him as the coming king, and he's going to someday subdue all the earth, and even the animal life and the vegetation and everything is going to be in subjection to him. The devil will be shut out from his kingdom for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. And I don't believe the followers of the devil, the demons, and the evil angels, are going to be free to roam and free to do their work. Because the Lord's going to subdue it, subdue them. And I believe man is going to be left without any excuse at all as to his continued rebellion and his continued unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ, who personally will be sitting on David's throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And the state of the union will be everything's perfect. And yet men's hearts will be filled with hatred for this one who has done this. How about that? That day's coming. And what we see here is his power over evil spirits being shown here. Now he's already shown his power over the wind and waves. He's shown his power over the diseases and sicknesses that cause people trouble and pain every day. And he even raised from the dead, people from the dead. So he has power over the grave, power over sickness and diseases and mental conditions. He has power over nature, the wind and the waves obey him. And now we enter into the spiritual realm of things. That part of our existence which we cannot see with our eyes. And we don't know all that's going on behind the scenes. We can see the results of it, of demon possession in the lives of people. And sometimes we come face to face with it as we evangelize and seek to witness to the lost. And you can see the opposition that men and women put forth to the gospel. And sometimes you just come back from it and look, and you look at it and you say, how can they be so against what the Word of God says? How can they be against the Lord Jesus Christ so? Well, you can mark it down. A good portion of it has to do with the work of the devil and the demons in the unseen world that is very much at work in our seen world that we live in. Matthew's gospel tells of two men, Mark 5, Luke 8, only one. Gergesene is close to Gadara. And these two men were controlled by demons. Now, how these many demons got into these men? We'll go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Matthew 12, verse 43. A little account given here by the Lord Jesus Christ about the ways of demonic activity and demon possession, and how it can happen, and how it can progress. And very well could be the manner in which these two men ended up with a legion. That's a description for a huge group of soldiers. He had a legion of devils in him. Verse 43 of Matthew chapter 12. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Could be that's the manner in which a legion of demons and devils possessed these two men who met Jesus in the land of Gadara that day. Could be that in their past that they were suffering demonic activity, and somehow through efforts of their own, or maybe efforts of the community, or efforts of a self-help group, maybe they joined, you know, Demons Anonymous, and they sat around in a circle and tried to encourage each other of how to kind of get rid of this control in your life. And maybe for a season they were able to overcome it. But you know something? Without Christ being in the center of the whole thing, it's to no avail. And a lot of times even these self-help groups, people for a season may find relief. But without Christ in the middle, they can be overcome again with the very same sin. Or another sin to take its place. Or another habit. Or another addiction that may not be as the first one. And they can still kind of claim victory over that, but they got other addictions. People need the Lord. That's what they need. That's the main ingredient that they need for victory over sin. For they may get victory over one sin, but another will overtake them. And even in demonic activity and possession, might be able for a season overcome their control. And those demons go out and wander around and they say, you know what? Let's get back to that guy. And let's take more this time so that he can't overcome us through his self-help group or whatever it might be. Well, these two men were filled with demons. But they came to someone that day who could free them. And it didn't matter how many demons. All the demons of all creation could have been in these two men. They were leaving that day at the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go. And go they went. Before I go any further, let me talk about the difference between demon possession and demon influence. Demons are bodiless spirits, and they seek a body to do their work. It appears, as you read through the scripture, that the demons need a body of some kind in order to do their work. It's as if on their own, out in the spirit world, they cannot be as effective unless they enter into the body of a person or even the body of an animal. And then they're able to do their work. Matthew 8 and verse 31. Notice what they're requesting here. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us. And the word suffer, old English word, meaning allow us. Allow us to go away into the herd of swine. They feared being bodiless, okay? And they requested, their first request is not for, well, would you let us smoke a cigarette, you know? Would you let us do, you know, whatever else? No, would you let us go into this herd of swine here? So it appears that they need a body to do their work. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, where it describes the condition of men walking in this world alive in the midst of the influences from the unseen world of demonic activity and the devil's work. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, it describes what you were once before you were saved. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. That's one influence upon you as a lost person, is the course of this world. If you're lost today, meaning you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, whether you know it or not, and I do not believe it matters how religious you may be either, you are walking according to the course set up for you in this world. That's all that you can know, and you follow it. Or, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There is another influence as well. It's evil influence, spiritual evil influence. We refer to it as demonic, or the leader of it, the devil himself. He's referred to as the prince of the power of the air. He's not seen by you. You cannot, grab a hold of him and put him in a jar or anything. He is out there in the air influencing men. And it continues to describe it, the spirit that now worketh. This isn't something that took place in the old days or ancient days when people thought they saw demons and thought there was a devil. Well, we're educated today, there's no devil. No, he's working right now. He works in your mind to even think that he doesn't exist. The Bible says the spirit that now worketh, that's in the present continuous tense, in the children, and notice, in the children's disobedience. So he works within the body of unsaved people. They are wicked, unclean, and vicious. Okay? Now I know there, and we'll see another passage where they present themselves as ministers of light, transforming themselves into ministers of light, and will even at times influence the teaching of ministers to teach good things and so forth, as long as they don't preach about the blood, like we sang this morning, okay, and the necessity for the blood. Otherwise, they are wicked, unclean, and vicious. Notice these men where they dwelt, coming out of the tombs. You know, that is not the normal place for people to live and have their being, in the tombs, in the cemetery. You don't find people living in the middle of a cemetery, although I must say at my cemetery where I work, there is a house there, and there is a lady who actually lives in that house, and that's where she lives, in a cemetery. But it's unusual. It's unique, usually, when that's taking place. People don't live in the graveyards and in the tombs. These guys dwelt there. That's where they had their living and existence. They were, as it says of them here, exceeding fierce. In the other accounts, in Mark and Luke, it describes them as men who actually went around naked, without enough clothes on. They'd tear their clothes off. Unclean, naked, fierce to the point that they were often bound by ropes and even chains, but could not be controlled by those things. They would just break them off. Supernatural strength, supernatural viciousness, fierce. Influenced from the outside somehow to great feats of strength and fierceness and viciousness. Unusual strength. Uncontrollable. Self-inflicting. The other accounts also indicate they cut themselves with knives. Does that then indicate to you what the prophets of Baal must have been influenced by when they challenged Elijah and the God of Israel that day, cutting themselves with knives, letting the blood drip out on their altar in hopes that their God would answer with fire from heaven. Cutting themselves with knives. Paul, in his message on Mars Hill, talked about the many altars that they had, and the altar, they even had an altar unto the unknown God. And he says of them, I see that you are very, you're very obedient to worshiping idols. And that's what an idol is. It's an object with a devil in it. There's a devil in every idol. Ah, come on, Pastor. Well, I'll tell you what, God isn't in that idol. You can name it the name of Jesus, the name of Mary, St. Joseph, St. John. God is not in that, and neither are any of them in there. But a demon's in there to influence you to do something contrary to what God wants. And we're not to make any graven images, and we're not to bow down to them. Say, well, that's Old Testament. No, it's New Testament too. Little children, keep yourself from what? Idols. Oh, you do know that says that in the New Testament. Keep yourselves from idols. Why keep yourself from idols? If it's something to venerate God, to make you think on Christ better, to make you think about Mary better, it's got to be good. Keep yourself from idols, it says. Keep yourself from it, because obviously there's a problem with idols. Tombs, naked, unusual strength, uncontrollable, self-inflicting. And then, the worst of it all, not in their right mind. Not in their right mind. The other accounts tell us that after the devils went out of this man, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus clothed, and it says very clearly, in his right mind. For the first time, you could come up to that guy and carry on a conversation that made sense. And most likely the conversation was all about Jesus Christ. I know some people might say, well, he still wasn't in his right mind if that's all he could talk about was Jesus. But I disagree with you. You're in your right mind when all you can talk about is Jesus Christ. Biblically, doctrinally sound, and so forth. You're not in your right mind when you have no time for Christ. Are you saying to me, I'm not in my right mind simply because I don't believe in Jesus? Yes. You're not in your right mind. Because He made your mind. He created you. And you ought to be worshiping Him. And above all, you should be trusting Him as your Savior from sin. That makes sense. If you continue on in your way, you're going to go according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's you. According to the Bible. Now, it's according to Pastor Freeman. No, I just gave you Bible. It's according to the Bible. And that's all that I can give to you. You know what, folks? When I see tombs, nakedness, unusual strength, uncontrollable, self-inflicting, not in the right mind. I'm going to say something, and it's just a warning coming from the pulpit. I can't help but think of the modern musical scene of today. Rock and roll, or anything close to it. Skulls and Dungeons and Dragons. Bones. Well, we're not dwelling in a tomb. Well, you have them hanging from your ear. You got them pierced through your body all over the place. Self-inflicting. Why do you have that piece of metal in your eyelid? Why do you have that there? Well, it's cool. You're going according to the prince of the power of the air, folks. Young people, teenagers. Why do you have pins and needles all over your body? Your belly button, your nipples, your arms, your eyes, your forehead, your ears. Why do you have this big rod going from the bottom of your ear out through the top of your ear? Why do you do that? You've punctured a hole in your body purposely and then punctured again out the other side of your ear. Why? Well, I'm not like those two maniacs of Gadara. I don't see too much difference. You're not in your right mind either to do that. I mean, what's in your mind when you poke, the first time you ever do this, poke a hole in your skin and poke another hole for it to come back out? And in your tongue, what's going through your mind that would make you put a puncture hole through your tongue in order to have a piece of metal sticking in there? There's something not right in your mind. If God wanted you to do that, He would have sewed eyelets for you to put that in your tongue, in your ear, your nipples, your belly button, wherever you want to put these things. You would have an eyelet there, like a shoe eyelet in your shoe to put your string through. Oh, look what God put here. Let's put a piece of metal through there. No, that's what would it be. You purposely are self-inflicting your body. I know even in the Old Testament the Jews were told not to do that as well under the law. We don't just need the law, but I think that you ought to pay attention to that. You're self-inflicting your body with these wounds, and they are that. I've seen some kids with those things, and those spots are infected. And they're red with infection. And you are giving your body the opportunity to fall into some kind of infection. And I'll tell you what, the devil who is behind all this does not care about you. Does not care about you. And when you do these kind of things, and then what about some of these new kind of dances and things like this where children can actually spin like a top on the top of their head? Unusual strength. Unusual abilities to do some of the weirdest things in their dance motions. I mean, some of those things I see them do, I can only believe that demonic presence must be there to enable them to do some of the moves they do. Well, no, it's just athletics and, wait a minute. No. There's something wrong here. That's not normal. It's not normal. It's above normal. It's abnormal. And the demons of the unseen world can make you do that. And the music that's needed in order to get you to the state where you are hyper enough to be able to do such dance movements like that tells me the music's of the devil as well. Warning from the pulpit. Keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourself from devils. Keep yourself from death and tombs and everything that represents that. And these movies today, demonic possession and supernaturalism and so forth, you keep yourself away from them. It's the way for the devil to suggest to you, why don't you fool around with that? Why don't you play around with that? Why don't you make an object lift up off the table and float across the room? According to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You might say, well, demon possession, that's something you find in the jungles of Africa. You'll find it in the jungles of Allentown and Bethlehem and Catasauqua, where our church sits right in the middle of. And I'll tell you what, our church needs to be a beacon of truth to these people like Jesus was that day when He came and met these two guys. Oh boy. Their leader By the way, rock and roll, music, modern music, and children's toys. I'm amazed when you go into, and we've visited Toys R Us, the amount of aisles devoted to supernaturalism and demonic activity. And men who are, and all kinds of weird toys for our children to fool around with. That's the introduction of them to the devil's world. Buy them a nice doll, okay? A regular doll. Don't buy them one that has pins and stuff on it or rings that shine up to the sun and get strength from the sun. That's demonic activity, folks. You're teaching them right then and there. Buy them a nice doll where you got to put the bottle in order for it to stay quiet. Pull it out. That's a good thing to teach them. Teach them the things that are normal. Their leader is Satan, folks. Their leader is Satan, making him appear more powerful than he is. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. Now, that's not normal for a locust, all right? But only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. For to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. Yeah, they'll be like these two maniacs of Gadara seeking death, roaming around the tombs. Why are you living in the tombs? I don't know. I'm not in my right mind. I like death. I like the idea of death and bones and skulls and dead. And you know what the big thing is today? I can't think of the word. People come out of the tombs and walk around. What do they call those things?
Zombies.
A big, huge push on zombies today. Shouldn't be talking about that. Shouldn't be thinking about that. That's wicked stuff. That's bad stuff. Zombies. It's not right. It's not right. And what about these things? Verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death. It's, you know, these modern musicians and that, it's almost like as if they play around with death. I dare you to kill me, or I love death, or my girlfriend's a dead body. Necromancing and having sexual things with dead bodies. Necrophilia. These things weren't even mentioned years ago. It's now talked about in the songs and in the music. They'll seek death and not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women. You know, every time I see that Gaither band, vocal band, and that long-haired guy singing among them, I think of that passage right there. Right there in the midst of Christianity, we got a man with flowing long hair like a woman. He ought to be ashamed of himself. And you ought not to be buying their records. Or saying, oh, doesn't he have a break? He does have a good voice. You can be sure the devil gave him a good voice. Of course. The devil's no dummy. Well, those Christians, they'll really like a good voice, even though he's got long hair. They'll find a reason to support him even though he's disobeying God, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Doth not even nature itself teach you that? So if your kid's hair is too long, cut it. Get it cut. So that no one mistakes him for a girl. How short should it be for? So that no one mistakes him as a girl. We got a big problem of that today, where guys want to be girls and girls want to be guys. Ought not to be among the Christian community. I can see the world doing it, and they're going to do it. They're going to do it. Now look at verse 9 and 10 and 11. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. You know, I hear men, well, these are those Apache helicopters, you know. No, this is demonic activity going on. And men are being stung with demonic activity. And verse 10 or 11 tells us, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Those are other names for you know who, the devil. Their leader is Satan, the devil. And he's against all the plans and purposes of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Whoa, we're at noon. The stake is burning. Ephesians 6, 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. And the word high places in the Greek can also be, and is translated elsewhere, in the heavenlies. In the heavenlies, folks. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, much of our wrestling spiritually with people, with this world, has nothing to do with the actual people in the actual world. It has to do with the spiritual world behind it all. Influencing all these things. And I'll stop there and we'll pick up with this next week. But I want to tell you, we are in a war. We are in a war as soldiers of Christ. Do not think that this demonic activity and influence going on in the world doesn't touch you, or has no, you don't need to worry about it, or you don't need to take a stand against it. You do. You do. And we're going to go to Ephesians 6 and we're going to see what the spirit, the child of God's resources are. They are all defensive. They're defensive. And we need to stand up against the devil and the works of the devil and his demons that do his bidding. And he opens up that bottomless pit for one reason, to destroy men, as many as he can, and influence them in opposition to God. He hasn't changed his desires at all. He hasn't learned anything. He continues on in his hatred and his opposition, just like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before God, in opposition to God. He's in opposition to everything God is for. Make no mistake about it. Parents, you have a responsibility before God to lead your children the way they ought to go. And they ought not to go in the way of Satan and demonic activity. You need to warn them of it and show them the right way, so that at a young age they will trust Jesus Christ and give their whole lives over to his influence instead of the devil's influence. For the devil's influence will drop him or her right into hell. And he'll laugh about it all the way through eternity. Ha! 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 Whew! Keep yourselves from idols. And behind every idol is a devil. Dear God, help us. We do live in a very difficult age. we do see these influences all around us. I may have painted a picture, some might say, more graphic than I should. But we cannot be deceived. The devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he's devoured many. May we, through the presentation of Jesus Christ and what he can do for them, deliver them and save them, rescue many from the devil's wicked deeds. In Jesus' name and for his sake and only because of what he has done, we pray and ask these things. Amen. You're dismissed.